Happy Sabbath. Scripture reading is Psalms 32:11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are bright in heart. Praise God.
Once again, happy Sabbath to everyone today. We have come together to worship our Lord, our Savior, and that one day soon that we will be with Him and be with Him for eternity. I pray that that's the hope that each one of us has today, that our soon coming of the Lord will be with us, that we will not have to wait too much longer, especially in the way that the world is going. There's many people out there that doesn't look at it that way, or they're too afraid to say something. We know that Christ has to come soon. And to end all the chaos that we have and all the sin that's going on in the world, we just pray that we are a part to be with our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. Pray that the day doesn't look like the sun's going to come out, but that's all right. And yes, we're going to have some warm days this week here, but we are God's children, or we wouldn't be here today. But let's just have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, yes, our Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Oh, Father, we want to be led down the right pathway that leads to the eternal kingdom, to be led by our Lord Jesus in the Holy Spirit that is our comforter here now upon this earth, to help us over the hurdles and over the trials that our adversary throws in front of us. We know that we can be triumphant, as David was, with his problems that he had, in his sins and shortcomings that he had, to be able to ask for repentance and ask that his confession be acceptable to thee, Lord. And we pray that our prayers are acceptable to thee, Father, minced with the incense given to thee as the Lord Jesus presents them to thee, Father. Help us to understand it all, Father. And we pray that, like a shepherd, that you will lead each one of us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yes, the burden of sin, the joy of salvation, David was able to realize that. And we're going to look at Psalm 32. And this psalm is attributed to David, a man after God's own heart. And this Psalms 32 shows personal penitence and instruction to others, and David was able to do this. This also tells us that it is a masculine, that it is trying to tell us something very important, or is given instruction or teaching something. And yes, with the whole Word of God, we know that God wants to teach us something that, but have a purpose of showing the blessings needed for the forgiveness of sin. It's recorded in David's confession and the forgiveness he obtained after committing his grievous sin with Bathsheba. Verses 1 through 5 deal with his personal experience, and verses 6 through 11 gives counsel that he wants to give to us. We pray that we will listen to that. And as we start there with the very first verse, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. We know that in the Hebrew, the word blessed is asher, meaning blissfully happy. And what is it that can make us blissfully happy? Because we should be as children of the living God. It's the experience and knowledge of sin forgiven to have that among us. And David, a man after God's own heart, is talking about his sins for being forgiven here in Psalms 32. We know that the Bible makes it clear that devout men of God have their faults, just as all others do, so all of that. But it's so we shouldn't feel discouraged if we make mistakes along the way, because even these devout men did that there. Our attitude to the sin that we have committed matters more than the sin that we have committed. And the Lord Jesus Christ takes that into consideration. The ideal picture of David is a shepherd looking after his father's sheep. we're able to see his sterling qualities that he had that made him a suitable candidate for kingship. He is admired as he goes forth to meet Goliath as a man of the Lord of hosts. We marvel at his patience while Saul hunts from him from pillar to post, as we heard in the children's story today. But wonder if this is a person who writes a teaching psalm with all that transpired in David's life, especially when after he became king. You know, he was a young man of great promise, and he made serious mistakes. The sin of adultery and murder in 2 Samuel 11. He tried to cover it up with a bribe. We know that we might not use a bribe, but we always try to cover up our sins that we have. You know that. He tried to put the matter out of his mind, and we try to do the same thing when we knowingly have sinned. And 9 times out of 10, we know that we have sinned when we do it. And also, the scripture says the thing David had done displeased the Lord, 2 Samuel 11, verse 27. God sent Nathan, his prophet, to rebuke the king. And Nathan was able to accomplish this very tactfully in doing that. So he told the story of the rich man that had many sheep, and of a poor man that only had one ewe lamb. And that lamb was as dear to him as a daughter would be. But we know that the rich man was going to entertain, so instead of killing one of his sheep for the slaughter, he took this poor man's lamb. And David knew what it was like about caring for the sheep, because that's what he did as a lad, in his youth, you know. And he wanted to have the justice mellowed out, so he asked who the man was, who that guilty person was. And Nathan replied, as we know, "You are the man," 2 Samuel 12:7. Knowing that he was guilty, he said, "I have sinned against the Lord." And what happened next? Immediately, Nathan was able to reply, "The Lord has taken away your sin." But why? Here, so suddenly, so quick, that the Lord was able to take away David's sin for his true repentance, that he was truly sorry for what he had done. And how quick the Lord will forgive if when we bring our sins to him, that he is quick to forgive us of them all. We know that. He's just waiting for us to repent and confess our sins to him so that he can bury them in the depths of the sea. And here David expresses the blessedness of whose sins are forgiven. He is virtually saying that we are all sinners. And so let's quickly turn to Psalm 14. Psalm 14. Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3. 14, 2 and 3. "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men, to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Yes, we all stand condemned before God. We can do nothing about that situation except to recognize it. But we are thankful that God has a plan laid down for our salvation, a way where we can be cleansed from the sin that we have. In Romans 3, verses 10 through 12, Paul quotes these verses here in chapter 14 of Psalms. And in 53, 1 through 3, he does that. That's evidence that we are condemned as sinners, but yet we have that great hope. Righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Romans 3, verse 22. In describing sin, David uses three Hebrew words, and I hope I pronounce them right. First one is pesha, and it's translated transgression, the breaking of a law which amounts to a rebellion. Second one is chedah, meaning missing of the mark. representing a deviation from a pathway marked out by God. And the third one is Avon, referring to moral worthlessness, something crooked and twisted. And yes, the inherited nature that we have is crooked and twisted. And only through the new birth can we be restored to communion with our Lord Jesus Christ. David rejoices over his sins that are forgiven. We have that opportunity also. But there's other things that his sins are lifted, are carried away, and no longer there. That they are covered and put out of sight. When a sin is covered, that sin no longer stands between us and God. And then it also means to charge with or impute to. When a person is no longer charged with a sin, his record is clear before God. We know that they have those books in heaven where all of our lives are written down. But we pray that each one of us' names are written in the Lamb's book of life and never will be removed. David is forgiven his act of rebellion, and his rebellion is considered non-existence. His deviation from the true pathway is not remembered, and we can have that same assurity today of our sins. The crookedness is not held against him, and that's the same for us today. It is sin that alienates us from God. It is forgiveness that bridges us and brings us into a right relationship with God. When we repent of our sins, recognizing our crooked and twisted pathway, and we look to God, believing that he can and he will help us, then over discovery, we are to look at God's graciousness that he gives. He accomplishes for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And so we see that in the second last part of verse 2. In whose spirit there is no guile. As God acknowledged, we are to acknowledge ourselves to that. A person cannot hide anything from God, whether it is sin or good. Whatever we do, God knows. And why should we even try to hide it from God, truly knowing that he does know everything? Our waywardness and our rebellion, we cannot excuse ourselves, nor can we rationalize our behavior the way that we act because of sin. We know that our sins brings us burden of pain of that sin that we have committed. And then verse 3. When I kept silence, and this is what David did there. For a little while, David was thought that he would get away with it, but it only brought him misery. As we continue there, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Here David suggests that his spiritual condition affected his physical well-being. And it does to us today. It does affect our well-being. Today we recognize the close link between body and mind. And in verse 4, as we look at that, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. The knowledge that he had done wrong weighed heavily on David's heart. And that guilt and worry made him listless, made him ineffective as a king. We know and see the story of his life there as king, all the things that happened to him because of his sins. What a difference it would have been if it had not been for them. What confession and relief. David had that, and we are able to have that today if we confess our sins to our Lord. Then I acknowledge my sin to thee. Verse 5 tells that, and he does that. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. David confessed his wrong and repented of it. He didn't want anything to become between him and his God. He did not excuse himself, and we have no excuse today ourselves. He knew that it was against God that he had sinned, and he had to confess that sin to God, which we have to do today. He was unable to say what is true. He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them find mercy. Proverbs 28, verse 13. His confession of sins, Nathan had said, the son born to you will die, 2 Samuel 2, 12, 13, and 14. Plus his family suffered also for his sin, and his kingdom suffered also for that. And as we continue in verse 5, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sins. All the promises that we have today, that God will accept our confession, that he will take our sins, throw them into the very depths of the sea, no more to be remembered. But we are not able, in most cases, to forget our sins. Even though that we take one sin, have a sin, and take it to the Lord to get rid of it. And then as we do that and trust and believe that our sin is forgiven, then we should take the next sin and continue on and not worry about the sins that we've already confessed and been accepted to the God. But with David and all others, God doesn't let the guilty go unpunished also. There is a punishment. There is a consequence that we have to have because of our sins. You know, he loves supremely, but he is also just. As we know that, as we read Revelation and we look at the three angels' message, we know that he has mercy, but he also has justice. Then David proceeds to give advice based on his experience in verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Yes, the godly are the ones that have experienced God's grace. And I pray that each one of us have received and experienced his grace today. While you may be found. So it must be that there's a time that he might not be able to be found, as it was in the case of Israel going through the wilderness, times that God had to step back so that the people did not believe that he had heard them. Emphasizing that there is a day of grace, and we should make good use of that opportunity, because a day may come when we seek repentance and not find it, or seek salvation, and the door is going to be closed. God won't be knocking on that door. But we need to make adequate preparation so that that doesn't happen to each and every one of us. We've got to find, or we'll find ourselves outside the kingdom. And I know that each one of us want to be in the kingdom. We have that assurity this morning to be with our Savior for eternity. Guidance. And then Isaiah 55, 6. Seek the Lord where he may be found. Call on him while he is near. And then the last part of verse 6 and verse 7. As we see that there. Surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. If you have to be delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ. This prayer is that the godly may offer for promised deliverance in times of sudden crisis. All of the crisis that we may have. We need to turn to God first before anything else. To know that the source of the help in times of danger can rejoice us with songs of deliverance. I'm not that good at music or songs and airs, but so I don't usually will use a song for deliverance, but I know that many out there that will be able to do that. And then verse 8, God's promises and advice he gives to us. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Your God is willing to give counsel if we ask for it. We do not think that the little details of our lives are necessary to take to God, but they are. And it says, I will guide thee with mine eye. The blessings of having God's constant watch care over us should be a surety, should really give us that trust in him the confidence that we have, may have in a God that is watching over every step of our lives. Verse 9, be ye not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding. Sometimes, like David, we may be stubborn in the way that we react to advice and counsel. We know that many times that we don't like to have counsel or have that advice given to us. But if we are able to humble ourselves and accept it, most times that will help us to grow in Jesus Christ and continue there. Whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto me. They had that joy of restored relationship with our God and with our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy doth compass him about. We can have that there. David knew from experience that one cannot have rest and peace living contrary to the Ten Commandments. They are our guidebook to that eternal kingdom. But what a blessing that we can have from God, the one that loves us and understands our weaknesses and our failings. We can always turn to him in our need, and he will never fail us. We need to have him if we trust in him. In verse 11, as we close here, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. That applies to all of us. We seek to do what is right. We all recognize the love of God and the provision he has made for our salvation. There's nothing more there to need to cause to rejoice in singing because of what Christ has promised us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as David had the surety of salvation, the surety that his sins were forgiven, we can also have that surety. So let's sing number 469. Our gracious Heavenly Father, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and whose spirit is no deceit. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Thank you, Father, for that assurance, the assurance that we will be with our Savior one day, to be with him for eternity. And through the ages, we will be studying the plan of redemption. We will be studying everything that the Lord has done for us here upon this earth and in heaven as our high priest now, working on our behalf as he goes over the books of his people. We pray that when he comes to our names, that we will be able to be allowed into the kingdom and that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We trust in thee, Father, and we thank thee for all these things through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.